Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Full Mascot Podcast. I'm the host, Alejandro Alonso Lopez, and our guest today is no other than Virtuosi Racing Formula 2 driver, Jack Duhin. Hi Jack, and thank you for joining us in the middle of the summer break. How are you?
No, thank you very much for having me. I guess it's also your guys' summer break too, as there's obviously nothing for you guys really. Of course, Formula 4 and Formula Regional, I know what their schedules are like, but not for Formula 2 and Formula 3, where maybe press conferences are more frequent.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of 3 weeks now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How are you doing? Have you had time to rest in these eventful days? Because if we look at the calendar, we have 3 race weekends in a row coming at the end of the month. I guess there must be a lot of work to do because those must be decisive rounds.
No, yeah, it's a, you could say those 3 rounds are a crucial part of the championship, as following those 3 rounds is, I think, an 11-week break before Abu Dhabi, which is a huge period. And especially now with the race weekend and the new format in the sprint race with the point allocations, max points are obviously a lot lower on a weekend now. So having the chance of 3 weekends in a row obviously is triple the amount of points, and it gives you a good time, you could say, to rebound from losses or issues that you've had before, which has been the most of my season.
It's 3 races, of course, lots of points up for grabs. Perhaps the season, as you've already commented throughout the year, so hasn't gone the way you would have liked. Is Spa, which is next on the calendar, a place that you are very much looking forward to, as you claimed pole position and 2 wins there last year?
Yeah, for sure. I really enjoy the circuit. I think it's a very cool place. Quite crazy in the way that, obviously the weather can change in a click of a finger, and it can be raining at the top at Le Combs and down into Brussels and kind of that mid stage between sector 1 and sector 2, but then also can be, sunny and dry down at T1. So it's a iconic place, and I really enjoy, you could say, the tricky conditions that Spa places you.
Yeah, well, tricky conditions and also very high speed corners. Spa is definitely a favorite for many drivers. Is it also a favorite circuit for you?
Yeah, I think it's in my, obviously every circuit that you do well at, you enjoy. Not every circuit, as there's some circuits that I'm not too big of a fan of that I've done well at. But Spa, I think there's not many drivers that could say that they dislike Spa and that it's not on one of their top lists. So I'm just hoping, fingers crossed, that it can stay on the calendar and doesn't get replaced in the future by some silly street circuit in some country, because obviously these places are getting replaced by high demand, by costs, and in places where Formula One might want to stretch to. So hopefully these awesome tracks that we've had for a long time that create awesome racing don't get replaced in the future.
It definitely would be a shame to see Spa replaced, but anyway, I guess that's how things working in Formula One and with all the categories supporting F1.
Yeah.
But of course, how confident are you going into the Spa round? Is it a track you expect to suit your car?
I every round that we've really gone, I'd say, forward, I've been confident that if it's in the window and if things are going well, I know that I could, that I have the potential to either, obviously top the session, being practice or qualifying, and if we have a good race car, exploit it. So I think it should suit us well. Depending on if it's a little bit too cold, if it's cold, I don't know so much, but hopefully we should be fine. But yeah, it depends on the consistency of the Formula 2, you could say. But I'm confident in myself and the package. I know we can do a good job. But it's so hard to predict, what's going to happen on the weekend. I'm hoping for a bit of consistency as you know, I really need that. I've been saying that, but unfortunately, just a few, you know, every time I seem to be getting close to that, something happens. So yeah, I'm confident in myself though that we can do an awesome weekend.
You mentioned consistency. Consistency is obvious. It's obviously a key factor in motorsport in order to get a good ending result in championships. What's happening this year for having so many drivers missing out on points in so many rounds? Because we've got a very tight midfield in Formula 2 this year. I think it's like 15 points from 4 to 10 in the standings. What's
Yeah,
happening?
it's I can't really comment on anyone else, but I'd say I have to put my hand up on occasions like Bahrain feature race, where I made a silly mistake coming out of the pits, and I think in
France as
you
well,
know
perhaps, where
either.
it's
And
week by
in
week.
Baku, I lost my front wing on the first lap in the sprint race, trying to recover from a bad qualifying. I've made two clear mistakes that I say that that were on me and that I had to learn from. But going forward from that, it's been difficult. A few, I'd say three mechanical failures. Not just in the races, but also in qualifying, like in Paul Ricard. And Red Bull Ring with the wrong tire choice was an inconsistency of a weather forecast, which was a strange call while we went on wets, which then obviously then I got ran into the back of by Felipe in the turn three and lost my rear diffuser, and then you finish with no points. So when we were trying to recover from something decent, and then in Hungaroring, I think all I needed to finish was sixth, and we qualified with a bad issue, so I luckily finished 10th. I didn't think I was going to be in the top 10, but we topped practice, had really good pace in the race, so I knew we would have been. I think we could have been on at least for a top five, if not a podium, to see how things would go in Hungaroring. So I think I needed to only finish 7th to be P4 in the championship, but we had to retire from a gearbox failure, and then that drops me from 5th to 9th. So it's quite. Then you go into the summer break and it's like, oh, you're 9th in the standings, but without a gearbox failure, you would be sitting 4th, which is completely different. So it's a little bit annoying, especially with everything that's going on at the moment.
Of course, with all those issues you mentioned, knowing you've had the speed the whole year, how tough is it to manage the situation mentally in order to not go into a trend of bad results because you want to recover so quickly and you start making more mistakes? How tough is it to keep calm and keep going?
Yeah, it's difficult. Trying. I guess it's to just, there's times where it's, kind of saying to yourself, what's, when am I gonna catch a break? Blah blah blah. When's this? Why do I always have bad luck? But I think, it's no good for anything, and I just need to keep pushing forward and hope that I get an opportunity, to really. To exploit what we can do, and really put it on paper, because, I think we have the base and the people that need to know within my chances to go to Formula One, know that I have the base clearly, but on paper, on paper right now you see 9th in the standings, which, is obviously bad, but isn't at all, and I hope that, I'd hope that obviously the outside. You could say news world know that that's obviously not where I sit either. So it's annoying, but it is what it is, and I'm hoping that it can have hoping that it can break.
If I recall correctly, at the beginning of the year, you stated a couple of times that your target was doing just one season of Formula 2. Is that still a realistic target, or do you think that with how things have evolved, you will need a second season in the championship?
No, yeah, for sure. Depending on what happens in the remaining, at the moment I'd be looking for another season in Formula Two, and luckily I'm getting that, I would get that opportunity, which I'm thankful for. And but we need to see and wait to see how things pan out, and to see really what happens. But most probably, yeah, I'll be doing a second year of a Formula Two.
Looking towards that second year, would you like to come back with Pirelli because you seem to have balanced so well and to be working very well together? There's been lots of speed, or do you think there are other factors that can benefit you if you switch teams?
No, I'd say I'm quite confident with where I'm at, and think I would benefit from staying where I am, and going forward with Virtuosi and with what we've built, because we've worked hard at it, and it would be a waste to go anywhere else, and I don't think I need to. I think if we know the areas we need to work on, reliability we can't change, but there's factors that I've made mistakes, they've made mistakes, and we've learned. So, I'm hoping if I know I can come back with them, and hopefully we can both get what we want and what we deserve.
Changing a bit the topic, we've spoken already about this in the paddock, and we put out a couple of articles about this. And speaking with Rafa Villagomez, and also with Rhys Uchijima, they highlighted your work ethics that as something that impressed them a lot when working with you. What's behind Jack Doohan's work ethics that make them so impressive?
No, I don't really know. It'd be good if they could elaborate for you. I don't know. I guess maybe because I don't know if I haven't had it, you could say, as easy maybe as others, and had to really to fight for it, and fight for this, and for this, this career and this job, and to really get to the top. And it's a way that I've just always been drilled into from my father, and from how he placed himself to become such a legend in the sport that he is, and to succeed as well as he did. There was no other way to do it, and so I guess that's just all I know.
Your father, he's obviously won the world championship in bikes in the top category 5 times. And how is he as a racing dad? Tell us. I mean, is he going and let you discover things by yourself, or is he much more involved, giving you advice even when you don't ask for it? How's he?
No, I'd say he, especially now, he stands back, observes, let me, the team, and my own team really, what we work towards things, and if he sees something, and he can note and try and help me to improve, any constructive criticism, then for sure he'll tell. He's my dad, and he wants the best for me, so he'll try and help when he can, but I wouldn't say he nothing really commenting on, if he sees something out of track, or if he can tell something blatantly, then definitely he'll tell me, not tell me that it's the right thing or the wrong thing, but just to check it out and see what's going on there. So no, I think especially now it's good having him there.
You also mentioned you have to fight hard in order to get to where you are right now. How did that 2020 Formula 3 season change you somehow? Because you went from scoring 0 points to finishing runner up. Was there something that you said, okay, it has clicked here, or you were with Jake Hughes, who was very experienced that year? Was there something you could learn from him? What happened in that year in order to make you improve for the following season that much?
Yeah, I think until really last year, I'd never been, apart from a few from 3 one-off rounds as Prima in my first season of Formula 4, I'd never really drove with a top team. in junior single seater categories and never really been able to find my feet, you could say. So I'd say I always had, raw talent, raw speed, and as soon as I switched from HWA, which I really struggled at, I didn't fit in at all with the team and with the atmosphere. It just wasn't for me altogether at all. Promised so much things, which didn't obviously work out. And then especially with that compact season, was it just was a nightmare. So switching, straight to the Trident car in postseason testing, my first laps, I was all of a sudden at the top of the charts, right from the get-go in that car. And I didn't feel like I'd done anything different. But apart from that, there was still a lot to learn for me on the side of things. But they helped me a lot, especially Giacomo Ricci, the team manager from Trident, who I'm still, heavily in contact with, as he's just, we almost created a good family there. And it was an amazing season. We worked really hard towards the end of the year, and especially over the winter, and even in pre-season, to ensure that we were, a strong package. And we weren't strong enough, but I think, it was the closest we've been or anyone's been to really challenging Kramer, and until this year, which things seemed to be a little bit different, you could say, in Formula 3, but it was the closest that anyone had been to challenging Kramer in the first, in the first 3 years of Formula 3, which was a good step, on my side for sure from 2020, and also for theirs.
At the beginning of your answer, you mentioned two key factors. I think that two key factors of success in motorsport. One is being part of a top team, and then the other one is being able to introduce yourself in the team, get along well with everyone. What's more important for you? I mean, is it more important having a well-performing car and perhaps not the best relationship with the team, or is it more about creating relationships within the team to push the team forward, even if the car is not so strong at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, if the car's not so strong at the beginning of the season, and you have that good relationship, that good atmosphere, the drive for everyone in the team is going to be more. They're going to be wanting to push more for you, do more for you, and without saying, that's going to improve the package, because everyone's going to be working hard. They're going to work that extra hour, that extra night. They're going to go that extra mile to ensure that, they see that you want it, which makes them want it even more. They know they have someone who's dedicated, who's, not just here because they have the chance, they have the money, and this is, what they do want to do with their life. They see that it can really work. So that ends up becoming a stronger package than someone who doesn't fit in with a strong team and the relationship's not well. And I think it's a crucial part of motorsport and the direction you go.
Now, moving on a bit back to Formula 2, but a bit of more technical topic. The tires, there's always a lot of tire talking in the paddock, and especially since the 18 inches rims have been introduced. There's been, or at least this year, that we are allowed back, media is allowed back in the paddocks. And I got the feeling that it's more about keeping the rear tires into the temperature window rather than tire wear itself. Would you say it is like that?
Yeah, I think on the higher compound, I mean on the harder compound tire for sure. It's such a, at the moment it's such a stiff tire, especially this new hard, which makes it even more vulnerable, without, the correct condition, the correct, I don't even know what the correct condition is for the tire, because even in Bahrain they were struggling a lot, and it just falls away really easy. You think of it like a it's not gripping, into the surface like a soft, compliant tire. It's almost like a super hard surface, so it's not actually sinking into the asphalt. It's just sliding on top like a cheese grater, and that's almost the term of the cold graining. And that's really what kills the tire the most. And the softer compound, the super soft and the soft, especially in the feature race stint, it's degrading 100%. It's the tire is falling apart, you could say. Where definitely the harder compound, you're just trying to stay out of the graining window. And sometimes it's inevitable to not go into the graining, but it's, you know, making sure that you're not accessing it and trying to work through it, because you can work through that graining phase and actually come out better and recover that lap time loss. But it's, you know, it's finding the right car that works for you, because everyone drives the car differently, and that depends on whether you can be, you know, front dependent or rear dependent. But also for feature races, you know, we're on two compounds, so something that is, how can I say, you know, going from a harder compound to a softer compound, you usually get more understeer. So if you have something that's, you know, slightly, you know, understeer on the hard compound, on the soft compound, it's going to be even more. So it's trying to find the correct window. Maybe you have to drive something a little bit more, you know, if you have a good car on the softs, then on the hard, it's going to be a little bit more snappy. So either you have to drive something with slightly more US, maybe on a softer compound in the feature race for the first stint, to ensure that you have a good stint on the hards. It's something that you really just need to figure out, which is another side of the tire.
Do you think that this difficulty to set up the car and be in the right window with both set of tires is behind the difficulties for teams to be performing consistently throughout the whole championship? I mean, we've got lots of teams in the mix this year, which hasn't happened for many years. Do you think that that could somehow explain how close
Yeah,
the grid is this year?
most probably. Yeah, I think that could be a high possibility. And you know, I just think it's also about, you know, the right place, right time. And you know, a lot of people have been having, you know, weird things happening to them this season, a lot of issues, you know, things obviously not going their way. And I think an awesome example is, you know, Enzo, who, you know, hasn't obviously had a pole, hasn't had a win, but hasn't, you know, hasn't had any issues, hasn't had any, you know, hasn't had any anyone run into him, no contact, no kind of off rounds. He's always been, you know, there or thereabouts, and has scored consistently. And in the end, now he's fourth in the championship. Whereas, you know, we've, you know, from the first, you know, I think 8 rounds in the championship, we always qualified in the top three. Two poles, five fastest laps, and four podiums, but I'm ninth in the championship. And you know, it's, I'd say, you know, there's no shadow of a doubt that we're one of the fastest on the grids, but unfortunately that's just the way the championship works.
You've got two poles, several podiums, as you mentioned. And again, it's been quite tough this year, especially for rookie drivers, get the good results. How could that be explained, at least from your point of view, who are suffering it definitely?
Possibly because, I don't know, maybe you have more third year drivers this year and quite high experienced drivers in the championship this year. You know, I think it's a very, very stacked grid, very strong. You know, so there was a lot of first year kind of guys last year that left the championship entirely and went different ways, where, you know, quite a lot of the second year guys actually from last year have stayed along, and especially in the top teams, you know, obviously Jehan from Prema's third year, Marcus at Hitech's third year, you know, Eries in his second, you know, did a few races, I think 4 or 5 rounds in 2020, and in his second and a half year, you could say, you know, Liam obviously we know is very strong at Carlin, so it was quite stacked, and not really much rookie on rookie, you know. I seemed to adapt quite well. I didn't really find too much issue with it, but yeah, you can say some others struggled earlier on.
As you mentioned, the fact of experience, and with that very limited on-track time you have in Formula 2, how does that affect you in order to get things right? For example, if you need to make some adjustments, or Freddie Bexley, for example, who struggled a lot at the beginning of the season, he mentioned the need of to push more in free practice in order to be in the right place in qualifying. Does this limited track time force you to go flat out every lap you are on track?
Yeah, I guess it's the way the team structure their free practice for sure. We're never usually I was surprised we're at the top in Hungaroring in free practice. Because that actually meant that we were gonna be very strong for quali if what happened didn't happen. Because we usually don't tend to try and target that. I'm always on the limit really from the first spot anyway. I don't think there's many places this year which the first one or two laps that I've crossed the line or even the first run that I'm not, at the top. But then as people go, they have different run plans. We try and tend to always do a very long run in free practice and focus more on the race car, where some people are doing push go push go push go push through the whole run. So we always kind of end at the bottom top 10 just because that's not really what we're targeting. But yeah, I feel I'm quite quick to the limit and benefit from circuits where you can only do one lap on the tire because I feel I can get to that limit quicker than anyone else and really extract the car's performance.
Either experienced or not, I guess everyone's targeting Formula 2 is making it to Formula 1, or at least that's the dream for everyone there. You've been lucky to get some mileage in F1 machinery. How can that help you in order to gain a Formula 1 seat in the future? Because considering how limited F1 private testing is and how reluctant Formula One teams seem to be about getting rookies on board recently, I guess that's a big positive for you.
Yeah, for sure. It's awesome for Alpine to give me the opportunity to drive the A521 car. As these things obviously don't come about often, and if not, it's a definitely a huge and hefty budget to have to find. So I was very grateful for the opportunity, and for the mileage in the cars. It's something that obviously. Young drivers as going into Formula One, it's what we need. As it's hard hopping into anything with no experience, and it obviously looks better on your pedigree when a young driver is in the stage of being promoted and has that experience that is much needed.
You've been doing Formula One sim work in Alpine as well. Is that also a key point in order to be considered for Formula One seat in the future, either within the Alpine structure or in another team, knowing how a Formula One team work, even if different teams work differently, you more
Yeah,
know the
no,
tasks
for sure. I think it's more about the understanding of a Formula One car, and how the engineering of a Formula One car takes place. Obviously, each team works differently individually, but the same processes apply and the same structure, in order that really goes into it is much the same. So being able to witness that and also be part of it is, an awesome opportunity that I've been given. And I really enjoy that work.
in order to enhance chances of rookie drivers, Formula 2 drivers, or coming from another category, this year has been implemented a mandatory rule that says that Formula 1 teams have to run at least one rookie in each car in one free practice session. Is that really a good idea? I mean, because we are halfway through the season, and from the Formula 2 grid, it's 22 drivers in the Formula 2 grid, and we've only seen Yuri Vips taking that chance. I mean, Liam Lawson is confirmed for Spa, but obviously the percentage of drivers benefiting from that rule is extremely low. Is that a good
Yeah,
idea? Is that something we could discuss?
maybe the teams were waiting to more so the second half of the season. I think Yuri Jahan really most of the third year or second year drivers that are within an academy. So it's going to be the teams really that have an academy who are going to be, putting them into the FB1s and maybe they're wanting them just to get a bit throughout, get them further through the year. And also because of the new regulations, the track time is so crucial for the Formula One teams as well. They're still constantly, trying, developing, testing, new parts coming in weekends and also slight new regulation changes throughout the year with the raise of the ride height. So it's crucial time for them as well, especially now that their FPs have been limited to 1 hour instead of the previous 1.5. So I guess they're finding a difficult time to really, obviously have take that time. And Yuri's work in Barcelona, I don't, he wasn't even able to go full throttle or full speed. He was lapping around 4 or 5 seconds off the pace, and just doing test and I guess aero testing for them. So it'll be interesting to see how Liam's goes. Maybe it was Alvatore will be more a bit more of a test for him and for them to see. Yeah, I'm hoping that some drivers get a chance, to be in that machinery and, in the end show the teams what they're capable of.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that Jahan, who's involved in, is doing now private testing with McLaren, but also and also Jurid, who has been part of the Red Bull stable for many years and has worked with them behind the scenes for several years now, and he has obviously been doing Barcelona developing work. Do you think that's the image that Formula One wanted to give when a driver is a rookie driver is in the car? Because for, perhaps for people watching, they just see a driver who's 5 seconds off the pace, and they think, "Oh, this guy's in Formula Two and it's not fast enough." Do you think? Yeah.
It's not good at all. And it would have sucked for Yuri because him seeing that people thinking that, oh, he's 5 seconds off a pace. It wasn't really, if it was 20 seconds or 10 to 15, people maybe go, oh, okay, maybe he was doing something different. But because it was that 4 to 5, it's a little bit bad, as it kind of people don't know, was he just really slow? Were they trying stuff? They didn't really know. And of course, I don't think it's what Formula One wanted when they implemented this rule, as they wanted it probably as a chance to for young drivers to gain experience in the car. And by that, you need to be going at speeds where you can feel the car and really understand things. But in the end, at the moment, there's no regulation on how the teams have to structure those sessions. So until that, they're probably going to use them how they want to.
It would even be very difficult to rule how teams should structure those sessions. A couple of years ago, we had those in-season junk driver tests taking place mainly in Barcelona and then Hungary. Do you think that going back to having those sessions would be more beneficial actually for junk drivers rather than featuring just in 1 hour free practice sessions where you cannot do very much?
Yeah, I think it'd be more beneficial and it would be better, but then, it's more cost and it's finding that time really, where the teams have that availability. So I think this is the most efficient way and format that Formula One have come to the conclusion of. And I think if they do it properly and it can be right, simulating a proper and actual, Formula One free practice session, I think, it's the best experience that you can get. So if they do it right, I think it can be a very productive tool.
Apart from well, always in this topic, apart from having you, we've also had Nyck de Vries, who's been working for Mercedes as well behind the scenes in the simulator and as reserve driver. Do you think that those sessions should be only for Formula 2 drivers, or is it all right to have them like we have them now with drivers from other categories like Formula E and reserve drivers like Nyck driving for?
Yeah, well, it's difficult to really pinpoint that, as someone might have a really great season in Formula Two. There's not really a slot for them to go to Formula One, so their program either sends them into Formula E for a year to Super Formula, or I don't know, sidelines them. And that team, might be wanting them for the next year, so it's a good opportunity for them to be run them in the FP1 sessions. And so I think it would be cruel, for obviously that to happen. And we know Nick is obviously an incredibly talented driver. Did obviously very well in Formula Two. Maybe he was a bit late to the party in when he started his career, which unfortunately, probably hindered his chances to get to Formula One. But I think nevertheless, if he was, I don't really know much about his early career. But yeah, it's unfortunate that he didn't get a Formula One opportunity. But then again, he's doing very well in Formula E. But I think the structure that they have right now is right. But if they start doing things where, they're getting drivers in from, non-feeder series and non, potential Formula One candidates, then I don't think that's correct. No.
We are almost at the end of our chat. So looking at what's ahead of us, the next few Formula 2 rounds, and being ninth in the standings, as we all have already mentioned throughout this conversation, what's a realistic target for you? Is that snatching fourth place from Enzo Fittipaldi, or even getting best rookie from Logan Sargeant, who is third, and you are sitting just 1 point behind him?
Yeah, I think third is possible. Things are going to have to go my way in order of reliability. And hopefully we just have a little bit of luck. I don't really want to say that because I've been saying that for a while. So I want to try and cancel that out and just try and focus on really on myself and what's in our control. But I think, I can have a good race and I can be back and forth in the championship. But it really depends on everyone else. It was just unfortunate on Sunday that, Philippe, everyone, I think Philippe, it was the people that were right behind me in the standings, were, apart from Theo, who won, were second to eighth, was, everyone was behind me. So they all scored big and overtook me. So, I'm hoping to have a solid 3 rounds, which I know I can do, and going into Abu Dhabi. In a good window to hopefully, end the year as the best rookie would be good. But in the end, just being able to show what I'm capable of, which I think I've done, but continuing to do that and ending the season in a solid standard.
Would it be worth to come back next year if you finish third in the championship, considering all the risks that involves?
Yeah, I guess it'll depend on what the possibilities are for next year. So yeah, we'll wait and see. It's a lot going on, obviously, in Formula One at the moment, and also for young drivers. But if that was the case and there was no opportunity going forward, then we'd have to speak, obviously, with Alpine or what they would want me to do and what would be the best action. But maybe to go for the championship next year would be the best decision and that they would come to.
Great to chat with you, Jack. We wish you all the best for the remaining rounds in the championship, in the 2022 Formula 2 Championship, and hope to catch up with you very soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.